want to turn over here to St. Matthew. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. One of the most important things that any Christian needs to know is how to pray. And Jesus had some real good instructions for his disciples in being able to, in teaching them to pray. Seems like when he was on the earth, there's no sign, it seems like in the scriptures, that they spent a whole lot of time praying. But it was essential still that they know how to do that. Turning to St. Matthew, he says here, fifth verse, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." I will start commenting here on the fifth verse. It says, "When thou prayest, not to be like the hypocrites are." There are some people that want to make a great show of praying. Well, that's not the way of a Christian. One is really wanting to get in touch with God. He's not concerned about the people around about him and those that would be looking on his praying, those that are in his presence at that time. But even though we pray in a public place, sometimes here in service, yet it's not for us to be worried about how we're placing our words together and how people are thinking that we can pray well or maybe we can't pray well. Sometimes those things will hinder us in our prayers before God. But when we bow in prayer all the time, it should be able to shut out the things around about us, put our attentions on what our needs are or whatever God would have us to pray about, and then begin to pray on those things and put all those things aside and not be worried about what we look like or how we can put our words together and so forth. Sometimes people can be that way, and there's a pride working within them that makes them feel like they're ashamed or maybe press them down or discourage them. But let's not be like that. But when we begin to pray, even in public, we need an answer from God. It's not just a going through a form or going through some manner of prayer like that. Something that we just say out loud, kind of like saying prayers. But our prayer is to be something sincere that we desire God to hear. We desire God to work. We desire something special from Him. And I say that every time we begin to pray. Ask the Lord, "Lord, bless me with faith. Help me, oh God, to be able to, as I pray, to reach out in faith that I may get a hold of what I desire from you." He said, "When thou prayest, don't be like the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street." You can hardly imagine maybe someone that just loves to pray out in public. Anyone is doing something like that, there's a certain vanity in that. And God will not hear and answer that kind of a prayer. But when we pray, we should feel needy. We should be humble. We should feel lowly before God. We should feel like, of all things, we certainly can work these things out that we're asking God to deal with here. And so it is. We don't want to pray to be seen of men. And Jesus says here, "For if they do that, they have their reward." There is something that they'll get from it. It may be that people will pat them on the back and say they can pray a wonderful prayer and how inspiring and how perfect it was, how laid out, how well laid out it was and all of that. But that's their reward. You know, when we pray, we want God to answer us. We want that to be the reward that we receive. He says, but when you pray, you enter into the closet, and we have shut the door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. You know, the main one that we need to impress when we're praying is God. We need to let Him know that all of our attention is turned toward Him. And so it is. We should feel very comfortable getting in that closet and getting alone with God, and in knowing that we have made a connection with God. You know, I say, and I believe the Lord is blessing me here lately a little bit more along this line, that getting alone with God and forming a connection with God, hooking up with Him, getting into the power that He has for us, you know, that is where we're going to get the blessing. And so the more that we can get in that place with God, the greater blessing that we can have. There are times when we need strength. There's times that we need the Lord to touch us in our bodies. We need the spiritual strength. We run into difficult times, and sometimes we need comforting, as it were. Maybe our hearts are bleeding inside, and others don't know the depth of the affliction that we're in. But God is the one that needs to know, and we need to be able to impress Him like that, in our closet, alone with God. You know, we have some wonderful songs in our songbook. One of them is Alone with God. You know, that's a precious place to be, able to get alone with Him in the midst of all the bustle and hustle and all the busyness of life and all with God. If you want your Christian experience to prosper, and if you want to grow, if you want to be able to feel the power of God, and you want His anointing to rest on you, find that time to get alone with God, so that you can have a real confidence in that ability that you have to get in touch with God. Know it down deep in your heart that you can touch God on His throne. That's something that we all need to know for ourselves. And I believe that this is something that is not just for the older ones, but it's for the younger ones too. You can know certainly that you have touched the throne of God with your prayers. So we want to continue on here. And then he says, but when ye pray, seventh verse, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, the vain repetitions, the repeating of something over and over and over. Doesn't matter how well you can repeat it, how flowery you make it, and all of that. You know, we don't need to make long prayers, just repeating things over and over. You know, sometimes we can almost have little bywords in our prayers, but God can bless us to be able to express what we need, put our heart into it, and let our faith extend out and get a hold of God. And we won't have to be like those people that Elijah was making fun of back there in 1 Kings. They were cutting themselves, jump on the altar, all kinds of things, maybe trying to impress their God.
Amen.
We don't have to do that, but our God will hear us. It doesn't have to be that we get on our knees and feel like, well, we haven't really prayed until we've done a certain amount of time down there. You know, the main thing is to get through to God. And when you start praying before God, you know, sometimes time will just pass and you won't really know how much time you've spent in prayer. You don't have to just bury your head. Lord, I haven't done this many minutes yet, or haven't done this much time yet, and so forth. But Lord, the main thing is for us to catch a hold of God, reach God, know that we've done it, and it may be a short time, it may be a longer time, but whatever it is, let it be whatever it takes for us to get a hold of God. You know, sometimes when you start to pray, it says sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hard to seem like to pray, hard to express yourself, you can't really get it out, and it seems like you're praying in vain, it's like going nowhere and all that. But you know, there's another song that says, pray until you pray. Just keep right on at it. Stay with it until you know you have got something through to God, until you have an assurance in your heart. We don't have to just redo it over and over and over, but go ahead and express what you need to God until such time that you've really gotten a hold of what of your answer that you desire from God. Then in the 8th verse, it says, "Be ye not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him." Yeah. Do you not know that when you begin to pray and begin to lay out your case or lay out your situation before God or your needs as you see them, you know God already knows what you need. He knows all about it much more than you do. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows what your needs are. He has compassion on you. You know, it's wonderful to be able to go to a God and have that assurance that He wants to hear from you, that He wants to take care of your need. It's not that you're begging Him so hard that after a while, you just keep begging Him, and after a while, He'll be so impressed that maybe you'll change His mind to give you a blessing. No, we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. He wants to do what we need. He wants to take care of all of our needs. He wants to bless us. He wants us to prosper spiritually, and we don't have to convince Him of a thing. You know, God just wants us to be able to bow before Him, humble our hearts before Him, and then express ourselves. And when we do that, God will hear and He will answer our prayer. And then in the 9th verse, He says here, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come." In other words, Lord, I want to honor Your name. Lord, I want to realize that You are the most important one in heaven and in earth. And Lord, I want to recognize You for what You are, for who You are, for the great Holy Spirit that You have and that You are to each one of us. I want to honor You, Lord, for Your power. You know, when we pray before God, it's good for us to recognize the power of God, His knowledge, that He knows everything, that He has all power in heaven and earth. We need to acknowledge that, know it, right there in the forefront of our mind as we begin to pray. We're not praying to a helpless God. We're not praying to one that cannot do anything about our needs or our afflictions, but we're praying to one that whatever it is we need is well within His capabilities to provide for each one of us. We want to thank the Lord for that. And so He says, "Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come." You know, when you pray, the most important thing as you pray, I believe, is that you would submit to God and desire His kingdom to be in you. The kingdom of God is to be in you. And so when we pray, Lord, we want to submit ourselves to You. We don't want to hold anything back. You know, I believe we can hinder God when we don't submit to Him, when we have some things in our minds of what maybe we can provide for ourselves. And Lord, we just need a little bit of help here and to just get us up over the hump. But otherwise, Lord, I can take care of it. No, we want to be helpless. We want to submit to God. Lord, whatever it is You desire from us, realize we want that. And there may be some things that we have, but we can put our things aside and look for God to provide for our needs. We don't have to tell God, "Lord, I can do this." We don't even feel that we can do something. You know, when you begin to feel that way and self-sufficient, you just kind of need God just part of the way, you know, you're not going to get much from God. And so we want to humble ourselves and pray before God. "Lord, I want Your kingdom to come into my life. I want You to be in there, and I want it to be alive in there and working." And then He says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know, that's something to say. "Lord, I want Your will to be done in this earthen vessel, just like it is in heaven, just as well as Your angels can submit and obey You. Lord, help me to be able to submit and obey You. Whatever Your call is, whatever You're desiring of me, it may be sacrifice that You're desiring requiring of me. It may be some place in my life that I need to measure up before God, to submit to Him. It may be a deeper dedication that I need to make before God. But Lord, whatever Your will is, I want it done in me. I want the kingdom of God to come in me, and I want God's will to be done in me. He says here, just like it is in heaven. You know what? That's what Jesus is asking us to pray. You know, sometimes you might think, Lord, how can we obey You like the angels do? They are heavenly beings, spiritual beings. That do not have the kinds of temptations that we have. They don't seem to have the troubles in this temporal life that we have. But they obey God, seem like, at whatever His whim is. But you know, that's for us to seek after. That's for us to pray and ask God, Lord, I want You to help me to submit to Your will like that. And then going on down here, it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we're asking God for the blessings of this day. You don't want to try to go to asking God for things way off over there in the future, but ask God for what you need for this day. Many times we can get to worrying about something over there that we know we're not. It's not in front of us right now, and the devil is bringing up all these imaginations, and our mind maybe is just going wild with worries and concerns, and thinking, how am I going to deal with this or that or the other? And all we have to do is ask God to help us right now for this time that we're facing right now. Lord, help us this day. Give us what we need this day. Our daily bread, that thing that will feed us right now. Lord, provide for us now. We need food. We need shelter. We need comfort. Maybe whatever your needs are for this day, ask God for those needs. And don't worry so much about those things way over there sometimes, because that's what the devil many times would want you to get to worrying about it and praying about it, all these ifs and things like that. What if this happens and what if that happens? And the devil wants you to be fearful here and there. But Lord, help. We'll just be concerned about what our needs are right now. And then he says here, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, there are things that we owe unto God, and it seems like we cannot even pay them at all. And so just like we are willing to forgive other people the thing that they, so to speak, owe us, we need to be able to do that. And that's the way we expect God to deal with us. That we want Him to be able to forgive us, Lord, those things that we cannot pay. But yet it seemed like we would owe it. You know, if God were to hold the stick over our head to say, listen, you owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me this thing. And it's years gone by, maybe, where we should have been serving to God, serving God, and He's saying, you didn't serve me, you didn't serve me, you didn't serve me. Well, Lord, I can never serve You for those years. They're wasted years. I can't help it. I can't pay You back for all that. But you know, Lord, forgive me. Let it go. And God is gracious and merciful to let it go. Well, let us let our brother go. Sometimes there's been some things that maybe you feel that your brother owes you. It's your rightful, it belongs to you. You may feel that. But, you know, you only need what the Lord wants you to have.
Amen.
And it may be some things that maybe someone may seem to owe you that you need to just drop and let go. Then the 13th verse, this one came to me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, we are not so strong that we can stand any kind of temptation. As this day starts out and we get on our knees and begin to pray, Lord, I don't feel strong in my own self. I don't feel in my abilities that I have maybe the wisdom and the capability to stand up and go through all the things that are going to come my way today. But, you know, He says here, listen, don't lead me into temptation, Lord, but deliver me from evil.
Yeah.
We don't ever have to think, Lord, you know, now is the day I've grown pretty much spiritually and I believe I can handle that. No, we can't handle it. Lord, don't lead me. Don't. Please have mercy upon me. In other words, Lord, I don't ask for any unnecessary temptations. I'm going to run from those things. You know, when you have temptations, you don't subject yourself to them. It's unwise to do that. But when you know something is tempting to you, what you should do is run from it. Yeah. Turn and go away. Exit. Run. Get out of the situation. Put your mind elsewhere.
Yeah.
But don't just stand there and think, well, I'm strong enough to handle it. You can't. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let God's kingdom be done. Come to fruition in us. That's what our desire is. Over here in St. John, the 15th chapter, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He is the true vine.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the one that has all the strength and power and glory from heaven. He has everything that we need. He is the true vine. The spiritual power straight out of God. And he says, my Father is the husbandman. God is the one that's taking care of the vine and the branches. We are the branches.
Yeah.
It's essential for us to hook up into the vine.
Yeah.
Every morning.
Yeah.
Hook up into the vine.
Yeah.
Get plugged in.
Yeah.
Do you not know that the same power that worked in Jesus when he was on this earth is the same power that you and I can plug into?
Yeah.
As we get down in prayer before the Lord and earnestly seek Him, sincerely seek Him, apply our minds to prayer, apply our heart to humble ourselves in prayer before God, because we can get a hold of God. We can have the power of God working in us, but it's going to take prayer. We must, I say, get on our knees and begin to pray before God for Him to come into us. We want to hook into that power. You know, sometimes we hear talk about power. Oh, I want more power. I want to see more power manifested. You know, God has the power for us. He is the true vine. We are to be the branches. And every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he's going to take it away. He's going to burn it up, get rid of it. But the branches that stay in God, stay hooked up. They are the branches that will not wither in the time of great spiritual drought. They are the ones that can endure through different kinds of circumstances throughout their lifetime. They are the ones that have found a secret of maintaining a contact with God that will take them through anything.
Yeah.
Nothing can separate them from the love of God because they've tapped into that power. And they've kept tapped into it. You can get unplugged, but you want to stay tapped into the power of God. If you will stay hooked up with God, let the power of God work through you, you can stay saved a lifetime.
Yeah.
Through all things. You'll see people come and go. Some warriors fall by the side as you go.
Yeah.
But you can stay saved. Stay pleasing to the Lord. So I want to encourage us tonight. Pray. Another place tells us, you know, you get on your knees to pray. It seems like the devil is opposing you and it seems like your prayer is not going out of the building. You know, the Lord knows what we need. He knows what we should pray for. He knows exactly what we should pray for. And you can pray. You can get on your knees and just keep on at it and keep on at it and keep on at it. until you begin to pray. And you really can make contact with God. Anyway, thank the Lord. I want to encourage your hearts. Amen.